God calls Moses, and Moses says, Moses tells God, who am I that I should go to before Pharaoh? I can't do this. I can't. What does God say to Moses in the next verse? But I will be with you. That's a game changer. That's a game changer. And even after God promised to be with Moses, Moses still doubted. He said to him, behold, are they going to listen to, why would they listen to me? And so what does God do? He changes his staff into a snake and then a snake back into his staff. He takes his hand, he makes it leopards, and then he cures him to encourage Moses that, yes, I'll be with you. And guess what? Moses still doubted. He says to God, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech. One of the greatest lines in all of Scripture. I love this line. God says to Moses, who made man's mouth?
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Pastor Mike Hurd.
Let's pray. And I hope you just, just really meditate on what we just sang. You realize that the God of the universe, that he has this incredible, deep love for you, for me, and as our brother said, that nothing can separate us from that. If that doesn't lead you to a place of worship, what a glorious, incredible God that we have. Father, Lord, just thank you as we celebrate Father's Day that we can, as John reminded us, Lord, that we can celebrate the greatest Father of all. And Lord, that's what we want to do this morning. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in our midst, that you would refresh us, Lord, but most of all, that you would be lifted up on our praises. We love you, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please be seated. Good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you men. Hopefully you were given a gift as you were coming through the door. If you didn't get it on the way out. We have a gift for all you men. We certainly thank and appreciate all the fathers at Emmanuel Bible Church, your faithfulness, your commitment to your family. What a blessing. Can't tell you enough. We have this member care list that we keep, and it's of every member and really visitors too. And as we pray through that, I have to say, when you look at the men, just thank God for Emmanuel Bible Church and the men in this church and how they represent Christ and how they stand for Christ and how they lead their families and how they want to lead just their neighborhoods, their communities. And so thank you, guys. Thank you for your faithfulness. I just thought it would be good for us just to give an update on Pastor Joe this morning. Saw Pastor Joe yesterday morning. He was at the church. If you want to text him and say, get out of here and stay away, do that. But Pastor Joe is on a four-month sabbatical. He's about 2.5 months through. It's how fast it's going. But I want to just say this. He's just so blessed. It's just so richly blessed that he has a congregation that would allow him 4 months after 21 years of faithful service to really, and what he's doing through this season is just sitting at Jesus' feet. He said, Mike, all I do is wake up and I get his word for 3 or 4 hours a morning. I'm just sitting with Christ. And it's been the most refreshing and beautiful time of his life. And so he wanted to personally thank everyone that has allowed him this season. Pray for him. He has 2 more chapters in his book. So please pray for him. He feels like God's really given him clarity through the season. So it's been a successful season for him. And so he's hopefully within the next couple weeks that he would finish that. And so, yeah, just an update on Pastor Joe. Hopefully, he will. We're hearing rumors from certain people that he's not coming back. Can I stop those rumors right now? As of August, he'll be preaching right here at this pulpit, Lord willing, by God's grace, August 9th. So please continue to pray for him. Really being blessed. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Thank you, brother. Is that working, Danny man? Yep, thank you. Thank you, Johnny. Just stand for the reading of God's word. We're looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 on page 178 in your pew Bibles, if you're following along. Beautiful passage. Let's read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I have given to them, to the people Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just what you reveal through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we are asking, Holy Spirit, be present. Touch each of us, Holy Spirit. Hit us with your truth, Lord, that we would walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. I would love to say that as I was praying and asking God to give me something for the church, I would love to say that this is from God, but I can't honestly say that. But I kept coming back to this text and to this passage over and over and over again. So I pray that you guys are as blessed by this message as I was blessed and challenged by it. Let me ask this question. How many of you this morning has been asked to do something and your response was immediately, no way, Jose? Anyone? Am I the only one? Am I the only one? God, right, asks us to do things, and our immediate response, right, could be no. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to look at some characters in Scripture that were just like us. Because of fear, does anybody else feel inadequate? Because of fear or feeling inadequate or our immediate response is no. Right? No way, Jose. And so, as I was going through this passage, I was really encouraged, so encouraged, and how God inspired me through it. And so I'm hoping that the Word of God has the same effect on you guys. Who wants to be bolder with their faith? Right? I want to be able to just tell people about Jesus. Man, he's the greatest thing in the world, isn't he? And so many times, I have to admit, right, this fear, this inadequacy stirs up in my soul to where I feel God prompting me, Mike, that guy over there, I'm telling you, Lord, no way. No way, Jose. I'm not adequate. I'm not suffice. And so I want to look at some characters in Scripture that, guys, we're no different. The Bible isn't full of heroes. God is the hero. And he takes broken people like ourselves, inadequate people as ourselves, people who fear and doubt as ourselves, and he does something beautiful. And so Scripture is replete with examples of men and women who had great fears and doubt. And we're going to look at one mainly this morning. We're going to look at Joshua to see that we're not alone, that The Word of God is full of men and women who said, "No way, Jose." And so let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 with me. And if you have your notes, I have 4 points. The first point we're going to cover, if you're taking notes, is the daunting task. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." And so I want you to see this daunting task that God is asking Joshua, that he's handing over to Joshua. Think about the 3 things that Joshua is facing right here, and it really impacted me when I examined it. First, he's telling him, he says, "Moses, my man, is dead." Moses was the man, right? Moses, even today in Israel, Moses is looked at as one of the heroes of the faith. And so the first thing we see is he's got quite a big set of shoes to fill. Everybody ever have that? Everybody, you know, when you're like, you want me to do what Mikey T preached last week? You want me to try to fill that pulpit? Are you kidding me? Right? And so right away, there's this intimidation or this inadequacy that you can just sense that Joshua is feeling. He's asking to fill the shoes of Moses. The second thing that he's asking him to do is to lead, at this point, over 1 million people into the promised land. 1 million people. I don't know about you, but I used to be a supervisor in construction. And my job would be a joy if it wasn't for people. Tell me the hardest thing about your job isn't the people that you deal with. Right? And now think about this. God is telling Joshua, "Hey, Joshua, by the way, you're going to take 1 million people and you're going to head into the promised land." And then the third thing in this daunting task is this land isn't like empty. It's not like he's going in and they're going to just settle down and there's enemies in this territory. Listen to what the spies say so many years before, over 40 years before, in Numbers 13. "The people who dwell in the land are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there." And so these cities are fortified. They have giants living in the land. They're warriors. These are people that just were in slavery, right, in Egypt. They don't know how to fight. And God is telling Joshua, "Oh, by the way, go in and take them." Can you imagine what Joshua is feeling? The daunting task that he's given to replace Moses, lead 1 million people, and into enemy territory. And I do this all the time. I'm sorry if I repeat myself when I preach, but I would just lay there in bed sometimes before a big day at work where I knew I had this big thing that was planned and scheduled and everything. And you're just laying there and your eyes are wide open. And I could see Joshua at this point just being so overwhelmed and saying, "Really? Me? You sure you got the right guy?" And so now when you look at our text in Joshua, look at verses 6, 7, and 9. God repeats a phrase to Joshua to encourage him in this new role he's about to give him. What's that phrase he repeats 3 times? "Be strong and courageous." Right? We've heard it over and over and over and over again. So why do you think God repeats it 3 times? Because Joshua's not strong and courageous. Did you hear that? I don't know if that brings you any sense of comfort, but it does to me because I know my own heart and I know my own fears. And here, Joshua, this hero of the faith, has the same questions and doubts. He feels weak and inadequate just like us. And so not only did God see this, and he tells him 3 times to be strong and courageous, but if you look down at Joshua chapter 1, look at verse 18. The people of Israel encouraged Joshua with the same words, only be strong and courageous. So we're not alone. If you raised your hand earlier and you said, man, Mike, sometimes I feel like I'm inadequate. Sometimes I have these fears. You want me to share the gospel? You want me to step out in faith? You want me to teach? We're not alone. And so I want to not look at Joshua. We'll come back to Joshua, but I want to remind you of a couple other heroes of the faith. Let me remind you of Moses, right? God calls Moses and says, Moses, I got a task for you, right? You are going to free my people from Egypt, right? And Moses was like, I can do that, Lord. Yeah, I got this. No. Moses is just like us. Moses is just like us. Listen to Moses' response in Exodus 3:11. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He says later on in Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Moses is basically saying to the Lord, no way, Jose. No way. I can't do this. And so, me with my play on words, Moses wasn't saying, think about this, Moses wasn't saying, no way, Jose. Moses is saying, no way, Yahweh. Think about that, right? So, the fear and the doubt that Moses had in his heart and in his life, he was willing to say to God, Lord, I think you really should pick somebody else. You should really pick somebody else. Think about Gideon in Judges 6:15. God approaches Gideon. He says, hey, Gideon, I got something for you. I got a task. You are going to deliver my people Israel. And Gideon's like, yeah, I got that, Lord. I can take care of that. Right? No. Listen to Gideon's response in Judges 6:15. Please, Lord. I love it. He's begging. Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. He's basically putting up his hand and saying, no way, Yahweh. I'm inadequate. You got the wrong man. Have you ever felt like that? I know I have. And so, each of these men were asked by God to do something. Each of us who are sitting in a pew this morning, or here this morning, or if you're at home, are asked by God to do certain things. And so what's going to give us this boldness, this confidence to step out in faith and be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm in. And what I want to do is I want to look at the next point to my message is, if you're taking notes, is God's promise and part. First, we see the daunting task that was given to Joshua. Now we're going to look at God's promise and part. Look with me at verse 5. Look what God says to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Woo! That's a pretty good promise. But why is it? Is it because he's a warrior? Is it because of what he brings to the table? Because of what he can do? Look at verse 5b. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Wow. That's a game changer, amen? To me, that's a game changer. Wait a minute, I'm not doing this alone? What you're asking me to do, Lord, I'm not doing alone? And I want you to think about that. Think about, we have the same promises that Joshua has. The God that created everything, spoke everything into existence, the almighty, all-powerful God of the universe, will be with me. Can you imagine how Joshua went with his bright eyes and now all of a sudden he's saying, oh, okay, I think I could do this. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. These words, this promise, had to have an impact on Joshua. He had to say, I got it, Lord. All right. I think I can do this. And so I was trying to think of an illustration to kind of, and I couldn't come up with anything decent. So here's my illustration. So Pete and I, we're always kidding around, right? I'm always, you know, ready to box him and hit him, you know, give him a left and a right. And Pete was in the service, and I think Pete would knock me out in 2 seconds, and I'd be down on the floor. But he was just, he had bad left wrist, so I was going to take him on then. I thought I could take him on then. But now, think about this. Now, there's no way I'm getting into a ring with Pete. There's no way. Not in a million years. I'm scared. This is a bad illustration. But if I got Mike Tyson, and I could tag team, hey, Mike, you got this one? Pete, you're down. You got no chance. And so if I had, think about this. So if I'm in the ring and I got Mike Tyson by my side and all of a sudden I got confidence, I got Yahweh? I got Yahweh on my side? Think of the game changer that is. Think of what that would do for our souls if we truly believed this truth, this promise, the presence of God. It was a difference maker for Joshua. Now, I got to ask you this. Even after Joshua knew that God was going to be present with him, do you think he was still nervous? You think he still had fears? Yeah. You think he still had doubts? You better believe it. That's our nature. Right? But what did Joshua do? He believed God by faith and moved forward in obedience. Believing God and his promises. Think about the application. Let's go back to Moses. I want to go back to a couple of these illustrations. God calls Moses. Moses tells God, who am I that I should go to before Pharaoh? I can't do this. I can't. What does God say to Moses in the next verse? But I will be with you. That's a game changer. That's a game changer. And even after God promised to be with Moses, Moses still doubted. He said to him, behold, are they going to listen to, why would they listen to me? And so what does God do? He changes his staff into a snake and then a snake back into a staff. He takes his hand, he makes it leopards, and then he cures him to encourage Moses that, yes, I'll be with you. And guess what? Moses still doubted. He says to God, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech. One of the greatest lines in all of Scripture. I love this line. God says to Moses, who made man's mouth? Whew. I can't tell you God's timing. God's timing is incredible because I was asked to do a funeral on Monday, and I have so much fear. You're going to say, we don't believe you. I don't like public speaking. And I was asked to do a funeral on Monday, and I was almost right up to the last second. I'm like, no, Lord, I don't want to do this. No, Lord, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want to do this. And I thought, God said, who made your mouth? I said, all right. I'm in. And so Moses goes, right? Moses is convinced and he goes by faith. Let's go back to Gideon. Listen to these promises, guys. God calls Gideon and Gideon says, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. I am the least in my father's house. The next verse, God says to Gideon, and the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. Incredible. Just like Joshua and Moses, we know Gideon still doubted, right? He said, oh, well, Lord, what if I put the fleece out and the ground is dry and the fleece is wet, and then he does it again, and so he still has these doubts. We're not alone. These are the heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And so Gideon believes God by faith and moves forward in obedience. Begrudgingly. And we know the great things that God accomplished through Moses and Gideon, these weak, inadequate men. He did great and glorious things. And so let's look at Joshua. Let's get back to Joshua, right? In verses 1 through 4, we saw the daunting task that God gave to Joshua. In verse 5, we see God's promise and part in verse 5. Now I want to look at Joshua's response and his part in verses 6 through 9. Look at verse 6 with me. It says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." And so we know the outcome. We know that Joshua responds. He goes in courage and in faith. And Joshua, the book of Joshua, is one of the greatest success stories in Scripture. He believes and obeys. And I want you to see something. That Joshua does his part, and God is faithful to do his part. Do you hear that? Please listen to that. Joshua does his part. God is faithful to do his part. Joshua doesn't do his part. So Joshua responds by faith. And I'm just going to do a quick synopsis of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3 and 4. By faith, Joshua leads the people. He's got a million people with him. Leads them to the Jordan. The priests stick their feet in the water. And what happens? God separates the water. And they walk through on dry land. Because he went forward by faith. Joshua did his part. God did his part. They march around Jericho, right? Can you imagine marching around Jericho for 7 days? Imagine the people in Jericho. What are these people, loony? Right? But they march around. By faith, he does what God asks him to do. And he delivers Jericho into his hands. I love chapter 10. Chapter 10 in Joshua is so beautiful. Joshua is about to face five kings. Five kings got together and they're saying, all right, we got to take these people on. They're coming into our land. We got to take them on. And so there's so many of them. So Joshua, again, God says to Joshua in verse 8 in chapter 10, he says, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands." And so Joshua responds by faith. He does his part, and God does his part. Listen to Joshua chapter 10, verse 10. "The Lord threw them into a panic before Israel." Before they even started fighting, these five nations are in a panic. Why? God did his part. Verse 11, "The Lord threw down large hailstones from heaven." What? There were more killed by the hailstones than there were by the army. Verse 12, 13, "The sun stopped in the midst of heaven." God actually stops in the middle of a day. That's how good and big our God is, so that they could finish this battle. And then in verse 14, "The Lord fought for Israel." God does his part. Every time, God does his part. He called Joshua, and Joshua, in his fear, in his doubt, in his inadequacies, responded by faith. He did his part, even with his fears. And God was faithful. I love it. Absolutely love it. And now here's the beautiful thing about the story of Joshua. When we respond by faith and we experience God in our lives, what does that do for our faith? Right? What does it do for our faith? So every time we say no, right, we're hindering our own growth. I love what God does in Joshua's life. Joshua says this in chapter 10 in verse 25. Listen to this. Listen to what Joshua says to the people of Israel. Do not be afraid or dismayed. Be strong and courageous. Now who's who? All of a sudden Joshua went from being told by the nation of Israel. Now he's telling them, no, be strong and courageous. Why? Think about all the ways that God just showed himself faithful. Joshua trusted God's promise and his presence. He moved forward by faith. And now all of a sudden, his faith is soaring. That's what stepping out of faith does. And seeing God work in your life changes you. It strengthens you. It's not just for his glory, but God does it for us. I love Psalm 121. It says this in verses 1 and 2. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so an amazing account. And so Joshua goes ahead, takes the promised land. But let's continue on. I really want to finish up. Look at verses 6 through 8. Look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. He does that, right? He goes in by faith and God keeps his promise. But look at verses 7 and 8. These are so important. God again calls Joshua to be strong and courageous. He says, only be strong and courageous, being careful, underline that, to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have great success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be very careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What a promise from God. Joshua, I'm telling you this. Josh. If you stay in my word, meditate on it, I got a promise for you. You're going to have good success. You're going to have good success. I got to do this. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. I'm getting a little bit out of my message, but I promise I'm almost done. God makes this beautiful promise to Joshua. And then later on, you see in Joshua chapter 12, I think it is, Joshua gathers all of Israel. And what does he do? He recounts the whole law of God before all the people, women, children, fathers, everybody's there. And so he's truthful to God's word. He's careful to do it. Look at Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Is everybody there? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Are you in his word? Are you in it? Look at the promise attached in verse 3. The one who delights in his law and meditates on it day and night, look at it. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Isn't that beautiful? Now I'm gonna go off a little bit here. So, do you believe this? I want you to think how you picked up his word this week. How much did you pick up his word this week? How much were you in it? Because there's an amazing promise here in Scripture. Like he said to Joshua, are you in it? Can you join me? I'm not saying this boastfully. But can you join me The beginning of the year, I said, Lord, I believe this. I believe it, and I want to live it. So since the beginning of the year, I've read through Scripture. I've read through the Bible. I'm done twice. I'm on my third time through. And I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that because I need Christ. And I want to be fruitful. I want to be successful for the kingdom of God. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you to pick up his word and let's be men of his book. Let's be men and women of his book. And so that's what Joshua does. Joshua heeds God's word and he gathers all of Israel and he gathers them to himself and he's faithful to God's word. And then in the end of Joshua, he says, he challenges them. He says, be very strong, keep the law. And see, so we see Joshua heeding God's promises. And so here's how I want to finish. My last thing on my notes is, so we see Joshua's response in part. Well, what about our response in part? God calls us, please listen to this because I'm preaching to myself. I'm such a schmo. God calls us as believers to action. That's the bottom line. My son was in campus outreach. One of the lines that one of the leaders of campus outreach gave him, he said, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's what faith is. And so we're called to action. We're called to be his ambassadors. We're entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. We're called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Right? He has called us to be a bold witness to the nations. And I love that, even the Great Commissions. In the Great Commission, what's the promise that Jesus tells them? Lo, I am with you, even to the ends. And so I really want to be challenged by this. And I'm going to share. I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it. So because of this message, right? My wife will testify. I a lot of the times I keep my mouth shut when it comes to being bold witness, but because of what God reminded me through this message, and I hope he's reminding you that he is with you. And so when we went to Olive Garden last week, and our waiter was a young man, and so I said, all right, I'm going for it, Lord. I said to the guy, do you believe in God? No. Wasn't very successful. It's not always successful. But then by God's grace, the woman in charge comes over and she says, how was your meal? And I said to her, hey, you got a cross on your arm. How? And I had a chance to share Jesus Christ. And so there's people out there, and you can ask my wife after. My wife said she saw tears rolling up in her eyes because she had never really heard the truth of the gospel, that a God would love her that much. And so I don't say that to boast. I say that because it's God in us. And what we need to do is we need to be reminded that he is the one who does it. But what do we have to do? We have to respond by faith. We take a step of faith. And what did that do for my soul? I was ready to run through a wall. All right, Lord, that was awesome. Thank you so much. So then I'm at my son's, right? And my son, he has a plumber, and the plumber's working on his thing, and I'm over there helping him out. I'm doing some work for my son because he has a bad shoulder. So I go in, and the guy tells me, yeah, I'm open 6 days a week. I don't work on Sundays. And I said, oh, that's an opportunity. And so I asked him, if you were to die tonight, well, Mike, I've been good enough.
I've helped a lot of people. And I asked him, I said, well, if you could be good enough, then why did Jesus die? And the guy was like, wow, I never thought of that. And so here, I'm saying this to encourage you. We were with some missionaries. I'm going to ramble on just for a second. I swear I'm going to finish. We were with some missionaries yesterday, and they're talking at a church today in Pennsylvania, and the pastor of that church in Pennsylvania asked the two missionaries, well, when you preach, when you talk about what God is doing where you're at, can you challenge them to share the gospel? Because they're not. What a testimony of a church. That's the only reason why we're here. That's the only reason why he leaves us here. Is to share that hope that we have, that somebody had the courage. I'll love my cousin for now until eternity. Because he loved me enough that he didn't care what, and he just shared the gospel. And he changed my life forever. And so, I got to finish. Please, let's be bold and courageous. Let's remember this one truth. Look at verse 9 in Joshua. Look at verse 9 in Joshua. I want you to put this on your wall at home. I want you to embed this in your mind. Joshua 1:9, God says this, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, thank you, Father, that I'll piggyback a little bit on Pastor Mike last week. You're not only with us, but you're in us. And so we have this resurrection power within us, Lord. And so, Father, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to be bold with these commands that you've given us as your people, to represent you well, to stand in the gap for the lost and dying world. Father, give us a boldness. I love Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. He asked the church in Ephesus, pray for me that I might be bold. Paul, Father, help us to be bold with your gospel. Help us to be bold with representing you well. Help us to be bold with your gifts that you've given us within the church. Help us to be bold, Lord, with generosity, knowing that you are faithful and that you are with us. You're not only with us, you're in us. So thank you, Father. Thank you for your help us, Lord, to go out in your power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.